This is our live stream. All right, man. What you're looking at there is it's about a year old, I think. Just driving home one night. Driving home from Los Angeles. Yeah. Or somewhere. Yeah, Los Angeles. And that's into the Caneo Valley there. Into the Caneo Valley, the 55 road. Into the Caneo Valley they rode. That's coming up on Oxnard, in fact. And then past that is Port Winnemee. And then Channel Islands Beach.
Okay.
You got the silver. You got the gold. Had dinner last night at... we should have Ted Bell on that, because I had dinner last night at the Grill on the Alley again. This is rapidly becoming our favorite restaurant here in Westlake. And it's closer than Ted's of Beverly Hills, you know, so Ted's going to get pissed off that I didn't go to Ted's. Ted's whole, you know, his whole thing is, oh, so you're eating on an alley. Well, that's great. Wow. Sheesh. This goddamn pot pie that Maria had for dinner. Where is this goddamn thing? It was huge. The biggest goddamn... Because she didn't want to eat steak, and she didn't want to have... I can kind of dig it, you know. She's having her surgery on Tuesday. I don't know what eating steak has to do with that, but... I just sounded like Johnny Carson there. I don't know what eating steak has to do with that, but... or Don Mixa. I don't know what eating steak has to do with that, but... This is cool. Dig this. A teacher's decision to be visibly queer in his photo with President Trump. Now here is the teacher's got a fan. Rhode Island Teacher of the Year took his turn in front of the camera with President Trump. He struck a pose some took as an act of defiance. He cocked his head ever so slightly away from the president toward a black lace fan he'd brought with him. He wore a rainbow pin on his lapel, a ring through his nose, and a gold anchor around his neck. Well, good for you, brother. Let's see here. You got the silver. Bold gay teacher of the year photo bombs Donald Trump with a fan. Well, that would suggest that Trump wasn't aware of what he was doing. Says they never stop to think, well, maybe that's just who I am. There was a social significance to his decision to dress as himself to the White House that has revoked federal protections for transgender students, erased an LGBT rights page from its website, and hired at least one advisor who appears to believe in gay conversion. Oh, Christ. Never mind. You know, and if you're gay and you voted for this guy, the gays for Trump, that was the one that I could never fucking figure. Now, far be it from me to tell people what to do, especially gay people or people of color, etc. I'm not even going to tell white people what to do. Old white guys, you know, but how could you vote for this motherfucker? Because this is not a surprise to me, and I'm not smart. Now, I'm not any smarter than, you know, really the smartest person. I'm just average, and I figured this guy out. I had this motherfucker figured out at the gate. Now, how can a dumbass like me figure this shit out? And you're a gay person, and you vote for a guy who has basically done what I knew he would do, because this guy uses people. He's a psychopath. You know, a psychopath is a guy that pretends he's human, doesn't really know how to be human. That's why he will sit there and tweet about his popularity when there's seven missing sailors, and he hasn't said anything about the fact that they were found deceased, and this has been a shock. This collision at sea, my God, you know, and the families involved. And he tweeted once about our thoughts and prayers. Then he's off to the races with his popularity and all this other shit, and then they're dead, and he still hasn't said shit. And his advisors have got to remind this guy. It's like having to remind him, this is how human beings act, Mr. Oh, okay. Because he doesn't know. And some people think I'm I'm trying to be funny or I'm exaggerating. I'm not. This is literally what psychopathic people are. They have no conscience, no emotional life, so they don't know how to act, and they have to observe other humans and approximate that. And Trump, he does this all the time, man. You can see this guy doing it all the time. You can see him, oh, yeah, getting it right, you know, after he fucked it up. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, you know, all praises to Allah or whatever the fuck, you know, or everything. He's motivated by survival, self-survival, and the self-aggrandizement of Donald Trump. Oh, are you saying he's conceited? No, it's beyond that. You don't understand. It's the only thing he knows how to do. It's the only thing that he has control over. Because he has no, and not having control over other people or other things is, to a psychopath, it's the worst fear they can possibly feel. It's true. I'm not, now here he is with Betsy DeVos, who, well, anyway, the less said about her, the better. You got the silver. Oh, Lord have mercy. So these little things where we see this teacher here. Let me see the, is this the Facebook page? I think it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go. Now, did the president know that this was going to be, the photograph was going to look like this? Or, more to the point, did the president give a shit? Well, it's a beautiful thing, man. I hope I got that right. Yes, I do. Okay. We're going to share this. Oh, there we go. Share now public. All right.
Well, Phil, I can tell you, Alex Jones is a piece of work. Alex Jones, I'm familiar with his kind of discussion because I do listen to a lot of the late night talk shows. I start out with Art Bell and, of course, a lot of them, but I'm not a. I wouldn't say Art Bell is a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination.
You wouldn't lump Art Bell in with the far right?
No, not at all. Art was more, and is, you should say, more of a spooky, you know, outer space kind of a deal. Alex Jones wakes me out just a little bit. I was driving home one night listening to Alex Jones, and I thought he was talking about Pizzagate and this kind of nonsense. I thought, holy cow, what's going on here, you know? Pretty wild. He's a kooky guy. He's wild. And I thought, oh, boy, he is wild. And so I wanted to get him on campus to talk. I think Megyn Kelly overstates the case. I think Alex Jones is just a wild man.
Well, what do you think of people? What do you think of people that take him seriously?
Well, what do you mean people that take him seriously?
Well, there's people like that guy that went down and thought there were people being held in the pizza parlor.
Well, I think, you know, look, Alex is saying some things that may, you know, we may need to say these things, you know, there's some pizza people that are goofy, who knows, you know, Alex is goofy, the whole pizza world is nuts. What I try to do, basically, Phil, is I try to find even ground, middle ground, so that people can make up their own minds. And I'm teaching a class now at the University of Washington called Finding the Middle Ground.
Hi. Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm very good, sir. Thank you.
Well, I'm listening to your program here. I've got a wife who goes shopping at the grocery store. I got a wife who goes shopping at the grocery store. I've got a wife.
My neighbor down the street was a guy named Gus. When I was growing up, yeah, two doors down from our house on Oxford Drive in Arcadia, California, was Gus and his wife. And Gus was an engineer. He and his wife never had any kids. We had a few couples on our street like that. It was very interesting because it was the era of the baby boomer family. So I went to school with a lot of Catholic. I went to a Catholic school, and there were a lot of six, seven kid families. You know, our family was considered small. We only had four kids. That was small. My best friend Don comes from a family of five kids. My buddy Doug was four. I don't know, you know, very, very rare did I know any kids who had less than four kids. There's a few, you know, a couple, two kids, three kids, that kind of thing. And then I had a couple of friends who were actually only children. They were the only child in their family. But God, there were a lot. And then here on this street that I grew up on were neighbors of ours. One on one side of us down the street, they never had kids. And they were middle-aged couples, you know. And they were nice people. And, you know, we go trick-or-treating at their house and all that shit. And they always had candy and everything. But Gus was a great guy because he was a Native American and had a lot of fucking Native American memorabilia and shit in his house. And for those times, the 1960s, where, you know, just sort of coming into the hippie period where that kind of thing, people, their minds were expanding a little bit more on that. But for some dude who's a successful engineer and upper middle class, I would say, and he had that ever-present T-Bird in his driveway that I don't think he ever drove. I went by his house for years and years and years after I left home, and there's that goddamn T-Bird. He must have had that T-Bird in his driveway. I think Gus passed on about 20 years ago, something like that. Because when I got back to California, I made a point of driving up to Arcadia and checking out to see if Gus's T-Bird was there. Goddamn if it wasn't. Still in the driveway and still with a car cover on it. But sometime between then and now, it's gone. And I think the house has been sold. And I think Gus and his wife are off in the, you know, the great hunting grounds. I don't know. But anyway, but he had a lot of Native American feathers. I remember he had, it was all just artifact stuff in his living room that we thought was fascinating as kids, you know. But I always, later on as I got older, I used to wonder what the other adults on the street, the other people thought, you know, that he was some wacko, some weirdo, some, what does this guy think, he's fucking Geronimo or some shit? You know, what's going on here? And everybody knew that he was part, in those days, part Indian, you know, or maybe full-blooded Indian. Because when I think of Gus, he definitely had Native features, his sort of mesquite Mexican Indian features. But a brilliant man, worked at was down off the freeway. It was down off the San Bernardino freeway. It was a Rocketdyne, I think. It's an engineer down there. Anyway.
Thanks a lot, Phil. It's good to be on your program. Thank you for having us back. It's been a while.
It has been a while. But it has?
Thanks for having us back, Phil. It has been a while.
It's been a while, Bob. We haven't had you on. You got the silver. Woo-hoo-hoo! God, yeah, well, fuck me. I took a sleeping pill last night that was given to me by Maria. She had these sleeping pills she got in Europe. Buy them over the counter, I guess. Or you can go into those, you know, they have pharmacists that, like in Europe and Mexico, other places, you can walk right in and talk to a pharmacist. You don't have to have a goddamn prescription from a doctor. So when I was in Mexico, for instance, I went to this pharmacy that's right across the street from the hotel. I said, I got a cold. And the pharmacist talks to you. Well, what are your symptoms? Well, I've got, feels like a sinus infection, this kind of thing. Well, let me give you, and he gave me a tetracycline, I think. And that, and the body surfing, getting that fucking salt water up my nose, works. It worked. But this sleeping pill she gave me last night, that she didn't make me take. She said, why don't you try this? And I did. I took a half of one because I'm really weird about that shit. Fuck, dude. I can't say that it really helped me sleep, although it did make me groggy, but it's like lasted well into the afternoon. So what am I doing? Drinking coffee. What the hell is that? Why are they showing that guy's hand? Oh. Anybody remember Oil Can Boyd? Who was the guy that pitched for the... Who pitched for the Boston Red Sox? Oil Can Boyd in the 80s, was it? I'm also watching a minor league game right now. The Charlotte Knights against the Indianapolis Indians. I kind of dig it. It's just a change of pace. You know, AAA ball. Looks like kind of college ball. And they're playing in a ballpark in Charlotte, it looks like. Decent looking ballpark. It ain't a major league park, but it's not a high school stadium either. It's got substantial seating and, you know, upper deck, and it's got the amusements and all that bullshit. And beautiful Charlotte. It's not a bad-looking downtown, Charlotte. I'm into cityscapes. Love them. I like to look at all different kinds of cities, how they're laid out, what they look like from the freeway, what they look from the highway when you're driving through, what they look like from right in the city, you know. I consider myself, I mean, not an expert, but I can drive in a major city, you know, about as well as anybody. I mean, I'm very comfortable driving a lot of traffic in a city. Not that I like it or anything, but I can find my way around, and I know the tricks of the trade. And as I've mentioned a million fucking times, in a city like San Francisco, where it's up and fucking down everywhere you go, man, I learned to drive in that city on a stick shift. So you know, If you can control hills, stoplights on hills, stop signs, when you're pointed up, they're pointed down while driving a manual transmission, you've mastered a technique there that probably only comes in handy if you have a stick shift. Otherwise, who gives a shit, you know, the manual transmission. But anyway, I've driven a lot of cities, and I would say New York I've driven in, but I'm not a big fan only because the fucking cabbies, from one stoplight to the next, the cab drivers just, it's like a drag race. You know, Florida's a horrible place to drive. People will say, this place is bad, that place. Let me take a tip from me. Just take a fucking tip, because I've driven everywhere. These assholes will say, people drive shitty in California. I hate to break the news. People drive in California better on average than anywhere else I've been. And I'm not saying that because I come from here. I'm saying that because of what I've observed. The number one people in the world that never use a goddamn turn signal, no matter whether you put a fucking shotgun to their balls, it wouldn't matter, Florida. Now, I'm telling you, I've driven everywhere. Nobody in this goddamn world ignores a turn signal like a Floridian. They don't know what it is. They also don't know what different lanes are. They don't know what the fuck that means. They don't know the far left lane is a passing lane. You're generally traveling at a higher rate of speed to get around traffic in that passing. They don't know. They use that like it's a slow lane. So they're just, I'm sorry to tell you, it's particularly bad on the interstates. It's not so bad on the turnpike because you're paying to get on the turnpike. And I don't know why they're just, maybe it feels like it's people are driving better there. I don't know. Atlanta is not bad. And the people in Atlanta, because they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, think that their driving down there sucks. They think, oh, fucking Atlanta driver. No.
You know.
Minnesota, the Twin Cities, is not very good from this standpoint. Their lane changing there is like unfucking real, man. You know, just like it's a 90-degree fucking angle. All right. What's in your mind? I don't know. I got a weird thought. God, I found something so awesome from this town hall thing.
Is this it?
Hey, here's a really cool tune. Oh, yeah. Hey, my man. I just found this thing on YouTube. Wait a minute. God, that audio's terrible, isn't it? It's Gene Vincent.
Really went down south a little while ago.
Now, this I just want to tell you guys something. This is a show that was on locally in L.A. called Town Hall, and they did it out of Compton, I think, or Southgate. So this is live, and this is Gene Vincent and Eddie Cochran's on the show. I don't know what channel it was on, but a lot of fucking heavy-ass artists. And one of these dudes goes, all right, thank you very much. And there's some hillbilly. It was mostly country guys, but they had these rock and roll guys. Goes, well, I'd like to people up in the Oxnard area to know that we're going to be on at the Crow's Nest in the Oxnard area this coming weekend. So what I ought to do is look up the Crow's Nest. Anyway, here is Gene Vincent doing a Chuck Berry song called Roll Over Beethoven.
Beethoven goes like this. I'm going to write a little letter, going to mail it to my local DJ. Well, if they're jumping, it's a record, I want my jockey to play.
Enough of that garbage. So that was something I found on the thing. Who's this guitar player? Anybody know who this cat is? Who this guitar player is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that was that, and that's pretty cool, and I like that kind of I like that kind of shit. I do. All right, let's see here, man. Don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Hey, diddle diddle, I'm playing my fiddle. Ain't got nothing to lose. There's something up with the sync on the... I know, the sync on the video sucks ass. I don't know what the fuck it is, man. I'll figure it out, dude.
Oh, shit.
Hey, diddle diddle. Roll over, Beethoven. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Think that. Ain't got nothing to lose. Roll over, Beethoven. Tell Tchaikovsky the news. Oh. I like that. Okay. Then comes. Too loud. 1, 2.
Be right. Speed.
Just 1 second here, man. I got to check, make sure I'm not missing anything here on the old commercial front early in the week. Sometimes they'll schedule a spot to be played specifically on a specific day, a specific hour. All right, here we go. What's today, man? Tomorrow's the 19th, right? Okay, here we go. This will tell me all I need to know. Okay, good. Nothing scheduled. Damn it. Give me a break, will you, man? Where's this goddamn download at? What is this shit? There we go. Cold case promo.
Through a field, and I'm thinking about a girl just a few years younger than me that was stabbed to death.
What?
It's called a cold case.
She said, I think my dad.
I love this kind of cold case shit, man. I watch it all the time on, whenever I see it on an investigation. Discovery or some shit like that, because I dig it, I don't know why I say that, but I do.
Hi, Phil, thank you. The summer months are upon us here at Fraser Foods, and we also have a jingle. At Fraser Foods, we mean what we say. At Fraser Foods, we mean what we say. Let's see. At Fraser Foods, your summer month store at Fraser Foods. Get on it for the summer months. Now, we had some misunderstanding because we're doing a corn on the cob. We're doing our special corn, and we said, get on it, and someone wrote a letter that I thought was very crude.
All right. What's up, man? What's up, baby? Hey, diddle diddle, I'm playing my fiddle. Ain't got nothing to lose. Roll over, Beethoven. Another goddamn London. Fuck. Testing 1, 2. Whew. All right, here we go, Jack.